request this morning. We have a special request this morning. Our, my sister has surgery Tuesday morning, so remember her. Let's all stand at this time.
Thank you. Amen. And just worship me. your hands and sing it to them.
I am thinking of the rapture in that blessed home when the redeemed are gathering in. I will raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, watch lights go.
Over and over again. be seated. Oh. Amen. Let's sing the song, My Sins Are Gone, page 372.
Amen.
He said his voice is a little, but he said he's willing to do it. So maybe I've written a song we'd like to hear.
Yes. God
bless you. Amen.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you.
Amen.
I'll just sing this song. Paul Fontaine wrote this song, and I told him
some time back. I said, this is my song. I'm taking it. This is my testimony. Just the realities of it. So I'm sure you know it's something keeps on. I don't know what key, you just have to find it. Trials of this world, we're getting closer. The pull I felt was more than I could bear.
Yes, Lord.
And I was on the verge of giving over. The strength within myself just wasn't there, but something keeps holding me every day. I see helping me faithfully to overcome each trial.
Yes.
So we're going to have Brother Wade come and minister unto us, amen. So let's just enter our feet. Let's sing these little choruses, amen, right before he comes out, make him more like thee. Amen. We want the word to make us more like him. Amen.
Yes.
Make me more like thee, Jesus. Make me more like thee.
I believe in the end time that will stand and look at death
And as you were saying last night, say boo.
Amen.
Right. You have no hold on me.
Amen.
Because we've come to a place where God is going to indwell us so much that we'll be the living, breathing, moving instrumentality of God, so the prophet tells us.
Amen.
And we sure do know that by foreknowledge, God, you would be here today, and everybody would be here, and everybody, Brother Joel, good to have you with us today.
Yes.
And he did a wonderful job last night. He did. And we didn't speak, because a lot of times y'all accuse us preachers of talking to each other about sermons. We really don't. But we're going to talk about David a little bit today. So, if you were there last night, you'll get part of it, and then you'll get the rest of it today. But we sure do appreciate Brother Joel coming to pour out his heart.
Right.
And we've always enjoyed being around him, and we sure do appreciate it. So, if you got your Bible, let's turn to the book of Luke. I do want to say before we get started, from all of us at Spoken Word Church and my dad, Brother Samuel Dale, y'all know him. You've known him for years and years and years. I want to read you a scripture that came to my heart just a few minutes ago. And as Brother Louis said, there's history between the two churches from a long time ago, and we kind of drifted off apart from each other. And as Brother Jackie said, it was time for us to get all back together. So we got it all back together now. He said he'd been wanting for a long time. So I hope that was your desire, that we just don't hate each other so much we don't want to live with each other for an eternity. Hello, don't start throwing tomatoes. And we're good. Ephesians 2, verse 14 says, "For he is our peace." Now that's not what I'm going to read, but this is what came to thought just a few minutes ago. "He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." I believe that.
Amen.
It's been dissolved, done away with, don't need it no more. We need God.
Right.
We need God to when we think about, we don't want to think about how we can hurt somebody, we want to think about how we can help somebody.
Yes.
Amen. So today we're going to speak in just a few minutes. I know the weekend's been long, and like I said again, sure do appreciate all of you, but we're going to have the Word of God and then go and eat and head back home. And I hope it won't be 50 more years before we get together again. I'm going to make sure of that. I'm just going to make my way up here and surprise.
Come on, brother. Come on.
Okay. I knew that'd be all right anyway. I'm coming anyhow. So we're going to speak today on anointed for a purpose.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You all walked in this door for a purpose. You live your life for a purpose. You live your life in life for a purpose, in Christ for a purpose, and as His bride for a purpose.
Yes, sir. Yes.
All right? You did not come here where God just said, "Okay, I'll bring this one here." No. You have a purpose.
Amen. Right?
And I believe that we're all now under an anointing that's even different from all the church ages.
Yes.
Am I with me?
Yes.
My group, you better say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Oh, that was weak. I told him, I said, Georgia was playing, they'd be shouting all over the place. But you know, different anointing. Luke 4, verse 17. But good to see each and every one of you. We believe it or not, we've already offered. From Brother Woodby, who married in June, and I, to all of you, and I saw some wedding pictures of the name, some of you were there. And he's a lot younger. But we sure do appreciate you. The foundation that was laid, like Brother Andre and different ones were saying, the foundation was laid with Brother Dale, Brother Woodby, Brother Richard Wilson, different ones that laid a foundation that we stand on today.
Yes.
We don't stand on a foundation that's out there, that's changed doctrines, that's moved to this and forgot that. And I was telling you at church the other day, you know, we've had just two pastors at Spoken Word Church, Brother Ernest Moat and Dad. And that's been for 52 years. We celebrated our anniversary just a couple of weeks ago, July 4th. And we sure appreciate God letting us have some stability.
Amen.
Stability, even in your human life, is what we want. You don't want turmoil. You want stability.
Yes.
So now in the Word of God, we have received stability.
Yes.
And we are resting on that. And I'm resting on that we're going to take this to the coming of the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
We're going to see that.
Yes.
And I'm just dumb enough to believe I'm going to be one of them.
Amen?
Amen. You can push me out, but I'll bring you with me. So we're going to speak on anointed for a purpose. Listen to this in Luke 4, verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now this is Jesus coming into the temple. We're going to start from the beginning and go all the way through. But this is the kind of the hinge point of what we're going to talk about. Because Brother Brown calls this the greatest anointing ever on the face of the earth.
Amen.
Was right here, this scripture. It wasn't shouting, it wasn't speaking in tongues, it wasn't running the aisles. He opened the book.
Amen.
Now listen, Jesus is the only one that can open the book, and he's the only one that can close the book. Because when we get finished with this, he closed the book.
Man.
And he handed it back. Now, are we living in a closed book age? No. We're living because Christ came and he opened the book. You're a little prophet in the end time. We believe that. Luke 4:17. And when he had opened the book, they handed him a closed book. He took it and he opened it. He found the place where it was written. Oh, by the way, Jesus was in church. Y'all ought to try that sometime.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. Now listen, Jesus was Almighty God.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
He was the Holy Ghost. Alright? He didn't need the Holy Ghost. He was the Holy Ghost. Alright? Everybody with me? Alright? But there's an anointing that comes after you receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive. Well, praise the Lord. Recovering the sight to the blind. That was me. We were all blind. And set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And closed the book. And he gave it to the minister and sat down, and all eyes were on him.
Yes.
Fastened on him. They're like, man, we've never heard this very long. You know why? Because they never had the word read the word. They had never had the word read the word.
That's right.
They were reading the word, but the word was reading the word. He made it alive. Because he began to say to them, this day, this scripture in this building is being fulfilled.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this time that we have. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to the greatest people that ever walked on the face of the earth. And Lord, you know I mean that truly. There's no greater office than being here, Lord, speaking to your people.
Yes.
Father, I pray that you'd be with each one, Lord. Open our blinded eyes, Lord.
Yes.
Open our ears, that we may see and hear you, Lord. You be the active participant in this service, Lord. Please don't be a bystander. Lord, come in and take over, Father. And you be the one that speaks to the people. And the one that reveals to them, Father. If there be any sick here, Lord, I know there's many ones that are afflicted in the body. I pray, Lord, that you'd give them a quickening power today.
Yes.
That you'd heal their body, Lord. If anybody's sick here in their soul,
yes.
Lord, we need more than anything. We need a healing of the soul.
Yes.
Father, I pray that you would, as the word goes forth, that it will sanctify a group of people for this journey that we're on.
Yes.
Be with Brother Andre, Lord. And the work he's doing here, Father. One of the most humble men I know. One of the meekest men I know. But meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength. And I appreciate it, Lord. And I thank you for putting him in my life and putting him in our brothers and sisters' life here. Lord. Just be with each one now. Take care of us in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Alright, so getting started, we want to look at Luke 4, verse 17, there's a... Move it up. Or down. Down. How's that? Is that good? Maybe me. I got any teeth. So I don't want to fall out. I'm not like you before. I don't want to fall out on you. They're attached. Maybe. So the word anointing means... When you anoint something, it means... Now this is literally what it means. It means to smear something on you. Or spread a liquid. Because that's what they did in the Old Testament. They put oil on the priest and anointed them with a literal oil.
That's right.
Now, we know that that was done away with in the Old Testament, but now we see anointings in the spiritual realm.
Amen.
We see anointings where it falls on you. Like, I know many in this building, as old as we all are, we've had different anointings. You've had an anointing to maybe speak in tongues, or you've had an anointing to do this, or you've had an anointing like I had one time where it felt like rain was falling on me. Just the sweetest raindrops that was falling on me, and I didn't want it to stop. I wanted to stay there. But of course, it goes and moves because it's an anointing. It doesn't stay and dwell like the Holy Ghost does. Is everybody with me?
Yes.
All right, we'll get to somewhere because we're anointed for a purpose.
Yes. Yes.
Every one of us, even the anointed ones at the end time, they're anointed for a purpose.
Right.
Even we're going to read here in the book of Ezekiel, Satan was anointed.
Right.
That's
right.
And that's why he can anoint you. Amen.
Amen.
So the word anointing means to smear or spread like a liquid. Also means to consecrate. But in the spiritual realm, it means a supreme quickening power.
Yeah,
and we're reading where Brother Ram said it was supreme power and control. We know that. All right, we'll get to that. That was the greatest anointing. And that's what we're looking at, Brother Joel. We're not looking so much for a shout or speaking in tongues or even healing. We need healing. Absolutely, we need healing of our body. But until we get this thing changed, it's still going to get old.
Right.
It's going to get old and keep getting falling, keep falling apart. We keep having to put parts back on.
Amen.
So in the spirit realm, Bo, we see that it's a supreme quickening power, because when the anointing came on Jesus, he said, I've been anointed to preach.
Amen.
He was the preacher.
Sure.
But he was anointed to be the preacher.
Right.
He was anointed before the religious people of the day, let's say. The Pharisees and Sadducees. He was in church and he opened that book. And man, they never heard a guy preach like this. Why? There was anointing on him.
Amen.
Right.
Even the way he probably said the same words that the priests have said for years and years and years, but he read Isaiah way different than they did.
Right.
You know why? Because he made it personal. Now, come on, I want us to make it personal.
Right,
make it different than the personal gospel. I don't want it to be a gospel that Jim Ronnie Johnson gospel. I want one for myself. I'm just a little bit selfish when it comes to that. I want God to anoint me. I want God to save me. That's okay. I want everybody to be saved. But save me, Lord.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So in the spirit realm, it's a supreme quickening power. So keep that in the back of your head.
Yes.
I'm not going to be real fast. I'm going to slow down a little bit because we got a little bit of time.
Yes.
I appreciate that. I don't have a button in my mouth, but I do have a watch that stops. So, let's go to Ezekiel 28:14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Now, this is God speaking of Lucifer.
That's right.
All right? He's not speaking of Michael.
Right.
He's not speaking of his angel. He's speaking of the one he created to be the worship angel.
Right.
Amen. And Brother Dick Anderson used to hate for me to tell. You know, I'd be preaching along, and even Boyd knows he's laughing. Everybody remember Brother Dick Addison. Looked like Santa Claus, you know. But I told him, I said, Satan was God's first song leader. He was. He was an anointed cherub. He was supposed to be, and look, that covering. So he had a covering on him. He had an anointing on him. And look, he wasn't ugly. He was beautiful. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. In other words, he walked around where God was.
Amen.
Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou were created.
Mm-hmm.
So now remember, Satan had a beginning.
Right.
But we've got to see that we don't.
Amen.
Right? And then we've got to pull this thing apart just for a minute, because Lucifer was created and anointed.
Yes.
Right.
Everybody with me? He was created and anointed. He was created and anointed, the Bible says, until iniquity was found in him. So he made a choice. Even Satan had a choice.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Right.
Satan had a choice. Listen, God had a choice. He didn't have to choose you.
Right.
He don't need you for nothing.
Right.
He doesn't need the air that he created to breathe. He don't need something to stand on. He was before all of us.
Amen.
But we sure need him.
Amen.
Amen. We sure need him. And in needing him, there's our Father.
Amen.
Amen. As I was telling the church the other day, we're on brotherly kindness. When you call somebody brother, Brother Joel, now I don't care what skin color he is, he's my brother. He's in the family of God. So when we say, God bless you, brother, God bless you, sister,
amen,
you have pulled them into your family.
Yes.
And we have the same Father.
Amen.
Amen. We have the same Father. So I say, Brother Donnie. I'm not just saying, oh, that's Brother Donnie. No, he's my brother.
Yeah.
I have a brother and a sister back here. They're my literal brothers and sisters. All right? But you are my literal brothers and sisters in the gospel, just as much in the family of God. And a lot of us that don't have family that are serving the Lord, your church family is the best family you got.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
I'm just fortunate that my family's My church family did.
Yes.
Yeah, my natural family. But there was a guy named Lucifer. He was created and anointed. Everybody with me? Right? He had a beginning and he's going to have an end. Even though he's, listen, that anointing has not come off of him.
Right.
That anointing is still on him. He's just using it different than what God gave it to him for in the first place.
Right.
Everybody with me here?
Yeah,
right? So in Genesis 1, I know most of everybody that goes to my church realizes that we're going to talk about Genesis 1 in just about every sermon I preach. To me, Genesis 1, 26 and 27 tells everything.
Yeah.
Tells redemption. Yeah. Everything's going to happen. Where you're going, what you're doing. You're going to have dominion. You're going to have power. You're going to be male and female. And Brother Joel was saying they're having a problem with that nowadays. I'm not. You shouldn't either. Amen? There's never a man had a baby.
That's right.
All right, so there you are. You're separated. Genesis 1:26 says, look, and God, he's standing there in eternity, and he said, I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody to fellowship with. I need a family.
Yes.
And they're inside me.
Right.
And I'm going to get them out. God can only do that.
Amen.
And he knew exactly who they were. Now listen, this Genesis 1:26 man was not every man that was created on the face of this earth.
No,
everybody with me?
Right.
I know Brother Andre. He knows it because he's heard it for years and years. Genesis 1:26 is God's people.
Amen.
Right. To me, that is an extension of God.
Yes.
Right. It's actually God in another form, because I know it says he created, but remember, you got to look at that word as he fashioned.
Right.
He fashioned a group of people in his image.
Right.
Everybody with me? But now he created Satan over here separate. Created him, gave him an anointing, gave him a job. Alright? These people, this Genesis 1:26 group of people is not an anointing.
Right.
Amen.
It's the person of God in another form called bride.
Yes.
So you didn't have a beginning, but yeah, you were formed. You were created. So man, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created them. I don't need a Bible for that. I've quoted it so many times. But look at what happened. Listen, you say, well, I still see that word created. You know that all the computers, all these benches, all this steel, your car that you drove here was in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Nothing new under the sun. It was laying out there in the elements. And then all of a sudden, in about 1912 or somewhere, a man named Henry Ford, he created an automobile. He didn't create it like God would create it. He created it from the substance that was already here.
Right.
So he fashioned or formed a car. Alright, we drive that car. It has a beginning. But the elements that it had, the elements you were originally made of will never go away.
Right.
He fashioned you in his image. And then he knew you would come here and he knew you would want it, so he had it there to give it to you.
Amen.
He didn't have to go scrambling through his inventory and go, Joel Brown, I don't know if I can. No, he already knew you were going to be
right.
And that Genesis 1:26, man, like I said, it's not an anointing, it's an image. It's God, an extension of God.
Right.
It's something that he wanted to express and he wanted to be able to see. But we know what happened in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
Lucifer was so anointed, he knew what the plan of God was, and he stepped in.
Right.
To make a long story short, we know what happened in the garden. I don't have to go through it. All right? And that marred, as the prophet of God said, marred the masterpiece.
Right.
But remember, Brother Graham said, the marring of the masterpiece is what made it the masterpiece.
Yes.
This right here.
Right.
Maybe your worst enemy, but God wanted you in this human flesh.
Right. Amen.
For a purpose.
Amen.
So your birth, your new birth is not your anointing, and it's not your adoption.
That's right.
Amen.
I'll read you a quote here in just a few minutes.
That's right, bro.
Out of the adoption series. So you've got your regular birth. We're not going to talk about that anymore. We're just going to... Everybody's born again. I'm going to open my eyes. Okay, everybody's born again. All right, so everybody has a piece of that Genesis 1:26 in your soul. The old you was burnt out. The nature that was attached to your soul was burnt. Done away with. The old you's dead.
Right. Amen.
Now, don't you tell wives you've got two husbands and you can't do that.
Right.
The old husband can't be put out in divorce. He's put in a closet. He's got to be D-E-A-D, dead.
Right.
But in killing that, then God brings the new birth or the birth to you that he wanted in the first place.
Amen.
That is 126, man, in the Garden of Eden, he wanted you to be there. He wanted you to come the way he wanted you to come, by spoken word, not by the way they came. And listen, everybody in this building came the same way.
That's right.
I don't care how big, little, short, fat, skinny, all of you are pretty. But you all came the exact same way. In a mess. All right, so there ain't no big eye to lose you. We know where we come from, and if we don't get this thing and get out of here, we know where the end is.
All right.
So that's my whole point. I want us to grow.
Amen.
Every minister, from Brother Dale, Brother Richard, different ones, they have preached a growth. Right. You got to grow. You can't stay a baby. You've got to grow.
Amen.
Nothing worse than seeing a malnourished child.
Go ahead, brother.
Nothing worse than seeing a malnourished Christian child. Somebody's supposed to be in the message 40 years and still act like they're 10.
Preach, brother.
Still need to be sucking on a bottle instead of eating meat.
Right.
Come on now, God give me these right here. They're incisors. They're to tear meat with.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
I like milk.
Yeah.
Milk's okay. A little bit of it.
Right.
But listen, an eagle's the only animal in those four combat beasts that was born to not drink milk.
Amen.
At its birth.
Right.
The lion at its birth, ox, the man, all three of those, you had to have milk to get started with.
That's right.
But the eagle, no, the eagle just stands there and opens his little mouth and mama chews the word up every Sunday and every Wednesday. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Chews that up and takes and breaks it down into little bitty pieces and doesn't choke you with it. She knows how to put it down in there and not kill that baby. But once that baby grows up, he goes and says, rabbit, fast food. And here he goes and takes off. He doesn't need his mama to do it for him anymore. That's what I want to be. I don't want the mama to have to do it. Listen, I want to come to adoption where we don't have to cry daddy all the time. Amen? We don't have to find Donnie Reagan or any of these brothers. I got to find my pastor. No, how about doing it for yourself?
Amen.
I couldn't find my pastor one day, and I had to call on my real dad. That's what I want us to do. Learn to call on your real dad. Sure, we have to have apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, commanders. That's that anointing that we were given, and we were talking about yesterday. Those were predestinated gifts given to the church to what? Perfect her.
Amen.
You can't do it press and play.
Amen.
Adoption series 1960. Brother Riley is talking about asking questions. Says, now, what is adoption? So I want to set this precedence just for a minute. I won't have time to get through it, Brother Riley said. Now back to the book. He said, your adoption is not your birth. All right? So your birth is here, and your adoption is here. And then all the other anointings that we're going to talk about in a few minutes. So now, you say, well, I'm born again. And Brother Ram said, when you were born again, you got everything you needed for your journey. Well, listen, when you were born a baby, you didn't gain no new part when you got 80. Might have lost a few. But you didn't gain anything. You were born a human. You had five fingers, five toes, a weak hand, a feet. You had a mouth, you had two eyes. But you couldn't drive a car.
Right.
Not when you were 10, 12, 14, 16, I hope not much. But why? We were still human.
That's right.
We hadn't come to a position yet.
Right. Amen.
We hadn't come to a position in God yet for him to give us the keys to the car.
That's right.
And say, go on, son, this is yours. You drive it.
That's right.
It's yours. This is your word. I produced it. I put it here. I made it for you. Now I'm going to give it to you and see what you can do about it.
Right.
That's why I want us to come to where we can take the car keys. Well, we don't have to be nervous. Well, we don't have to be frustrated. Because, listen, out there is frustrated enough.
Yes.
Let's not be frustrated in the gospel. God will help you if you ask him to. The problem is we don't ask him. We think we got it all figured out sometimes. And we don't. But you know what? If you're a child of God, he's going to give you one of those stimulation things I was talking about last night.
Right.
And he's going to make you go back in line.
Right.
Amen. And that's what he's doing now. What a wonderful father.
Yes.
And a wonderful God he is.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to read this quote. from the believer's position in Christ, 1955, I wish we had it on the screen. We have screens at the church, and I'm sorry if I keep reading scripture real fast and you're not turning pages to get to it. It's usually already popped up on the screen, so I apologize for that. But it is better for you to read it, then you know that I'm not telling you something different.
That's right.
So look, now God, our Father, He's praying. Now listen to this, He's praying. And God, we're trying our best and following you in everything that we do or say. Send him into the building just now. Now, why did he need somebody in the building? He was a prophet. He had the Holy Ghost. Obviously, there's no way we can deny he didn't have the Holy Ghost. That man had baptism of the Holy Ghost. But he needed an anointing to come into that room or into that where he was having prayer lines. We speak to have a prayer line. He said, what? I'm waiting on him. Why is he waiting on him? That's an anointing, a special.
Yes.
Part that come down into his life, and then it would go off of him. He said he would, you know, they'd take him back and he'd have headaches for days, and they said he'd be dizzy and didn't know what he was doing. Well, that was an anointing that came on him, but the thing came off of him.
Right.
But he still had the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, listen, he's praying, send him into the building, Lord. Put a fresh anointing on every minister here and every lady. Well, I'd say the same thing today.
Amen.
Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic, whatever you are, Father, they're here because they love you. And we're groaning, waiting for that time of adoption. And we believe. Now, this is the prophet. Now, you believe God sent a prophet. I just want to make sure I'm in the same congregation. Some of y'all, there's only three of you that did. I must have come this long, Bill. How many believe God sent us a prophet?
Yes, amen.
You need to find the Lord. And we'll pray for you after service.
Right.
We're groaning, waiting for the time of adoption. And we believe that one of these days, the Holy Spirit, look, will move in. Not with the new birth. He makes that specific, common. Not with the new birth. For we've received that through Christ, but you'll adopt your church then.
Amen.
Everybody with me? This is from the believer's position in Christ, 1955. Then she'll be clothed in the power of the resurrected Lord. And we pray, Father, that you'll do this quickly, for the day looks so dark. 1955!
Yes,
right.
The day looks so dark and evil ahead. We pray that you'll adopt us now, Lord, into your family. Give us the authority that we need, Father, to make the gainsayers keep still. That's what I want. I want these naysayers that don't believe Brother Ryan was a prophet, that don't believe this message is true. I want that their folly will be made manifest. I'll pray for you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
1954, precious questions and answers. His old brother, give me a church full of the Holy Ghost. God will do in 1 year what all theologies failed to do in 2000.
Yes.
Said, you wait till the anointing of the church really strikes home to that faithful little remnant.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
After the doors of the Gentile church is closed, oh God will anoint a church then. So there's an anointing coming, my brother.
Amen.
If you believe that, there's an anointing coming that we've not even had before.
Right.
We're heading there, though. God will anoint a church then. He who's filthy, let him be filthy still. He who's righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And God will anoint the church with the power of God, and things will take place.
Yes.
Not only that then, but he's doing it now.
Amen.
Right? So there is one coming, a great one coming, but there's one, he was saying there's one here too. 55.
That's right.
And there is one. The Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ. In word form. The word's got to be anointed. Alright? It doesn't matter if you be the word's got to be anointed. And we know the word's anointed. And when that anointing comes into you, it anoints you. Alright? Well, let's look just for a minute with the Old Testament in types and shadows, because we know you can't do away with the Old Testament. The Old Testament is given, as we said, for an example. The Bible says, for an example for us that the end of the earth is coming to. So it's for us to look back. I mean, how many people have heard teachings on Abraham? And I know some of you may have came from another denomination or something. They'll talk about this and Father Abraham, but they never really knew who Abraham was. The prophet of God knew who Abram was and who Abraham was.
Amen.
And he taught us the difference in the two.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Abram didn't have the promised son. Abraham had the promised son.
Right.
So there had to be a change. And then thank God, a prophet told us they had a body change.
Right.
You won't hear that anywhere else either.
Right.
But it proved that they had a body change. 300, you know, they took a 300-mile journey, and you don't know, Brother Brown told the story about the king sitting there with as many hundreds of wives, and they're just as beautiful. And here comes 99-year-old Sarah. And he wants her. Oh, she had a body change. So that's what we're looking for. But we got to meet Melchizedek first. You got to meet God in human flesh before that happens. And we'll talk about that in just for a minute. Exodus 30, verse 30. We'll just read this real quick. I know we understand this. We've heard it talked many times. Thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them. So they literally poured this oil onto these to Aaron and his sons for them to go do the job in the temple. Alright?
Right.
By the way, it was a holy anointing oil, and I'll just paraphrase this to save time. God told him, said, do not duplicate this.
Right.
I'm going to have it made one way. Do not duplicate this Holy Ghost. It's only going to come one way.
Right.
And it's going to come by justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not going to come. Now listen, there's a lot of people going to be anointed with the Holy Ghost. It's going to go to hell.
Amen.
You can get quiet if you want to.
Right.
But it's the truth.
Right.
This shall be a holy anointing oil unto me through your generations. You shall not make any like it after the composition of it. It is holy. Leave it alone. He said, whoever compoundeth it or maketh this anointing oil, just regular oil, he's going to be cut off from the people. They're kicking him out. They'll kick you out. You're not an Israelite anymore. They'll kick you out. That's how strong it is. That was just in the Old Testament, though. Alright? Everybody with me?
Right.
So now Moses, let's look at Moses. The Bible tells us that Moses killed an Egyptian, and Moses made a lot of mistakes. But when Moses was speaking for God, his face shone so much until they had to turn away and he had to cover his face. Now that was an anointing. What a strong anointing that was. Alright? Because it would come off of him. He didn't keep that all the time. But he had an anointing to speak instead of God, or in God's stead. Because remember, when he said flies, flies came. When he said frogs, frogs came. There was a creation in his voice. Now remember, Moses was not born again.
Right.
Everybody with me? Moses was not born again. The Old Testament, there was no one born again.
That's right.
They had anointings, but they weren't born again.
Sure. Yeah. Right.
Okay? Even John the Baptist, not born again.
Right.
He had the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
That's for a different subject. Think about that for a little while. You can
right.
preach on that later. 1954, serve be of good cheer. Watch this. Look at Jonah the prophet. After receiving inspiration that kept him alive in the whale's belly. What an anointing to be in a whale's belly.
Yes.
And preached with such inspiration to a city the size of St. Louis. All unrepentant. And then after the Spirit left him, he sat under a little tree, a gourd tree, and prayed, God, let me die.
Right.
Look at Elijah the prophet after calling fire down out of heaven, called rain out of heaven. The same day the Spirit left him, he ran into the wilderness, and Jezebel, he was afraid of that woman.
Right?
So that's the anointing that came on, and then that anointing came off, and he became just a normal person. Alright? But we'll look at something though, because there's something the Bible tells us about one individual that says you see the Spirit descend
right. yes.
and remain.
Right.
Amen.
Everybody with me?
Yes.
Right?
Right.
We know who that is. Alright, so that's what we're getting to. So now look at Samson. Samson, now listen, Samson what did one like all Schwarzenegger.
That's right.
You know, when you watch a Samson movie and when you got this guy that's, you know, just all pecked out and everything, no. He was a little big kid.
Yeah.
Sissy looking kid. Couldn't even be the water boy on a football game.
Because
he cried, he stumped his toe.
Right.
Had seven little pretty little curls. But when the anointing that he was purposed for.
Right.
Yes.
Anointed for a purpose. purpose. He was anointed for that purpose to destroy the Philistines. As long as he kept that anointing on him, he could pick up tons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tons. Those gates weigh tons, not just hundreds of pounds, tons.
Right.
He'd just pick them up and go set them down. That was a mystery. It wouldn't be a mystery if he was as big as Arnold Schwarzenegger or somebody like that. That wouldn't be a mystery. They know, he's just strong. He works out. No, he's a little strip boy. And walking around all humped over, and all of a sudden he kills 1,000 of them. Right. Well, that's why they wanted to know where he got his anointing from. Where did you get your strength from?
Right.
Of course, we know what happened.
Yeah.
Amen.
He lost all that because he got out of the will of God.
That's right.
But remember, in the end, he took out more than he did during his life.
Amen.
I want to be that way. I want to be, if it comes down to the end, Brother Joel, I want to be where God says, enter in. You've destroyed more in the end of your life than you did in the first of your life. See, demons out of here, destroy them all.
Right.
So here, let's come to David. Now remember, as Brother Joel was preaching last night, check yourself just a minute. David was anointed to be king.
That's right.
Alright? 1 Samuel 16:10. I want you to look at this real you believe in numbers, numerology?
Yes.
We believe in types. We believe in numerology. We had a prophet come to tell us what a 5, what a 4, what a 3, what a 6, what a 2, what an 8 was.
Yes.
Amen.
What a 7 was, right? He told us all those numbers. So let's look at this in 1 Samuel 16 because David, and taking nothing away from what Brother Joel said, it took faith and it took David to be at the right place at the right time. But remember, David had an anointing.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
He was anointed for his time.
Right.
But remember, though, he was anointed to be king. But remember, he was anointed as a boy. He did not become king for years after.
Right.
Years after that Samuel anointed him. Now, here's the situation. Now, God, I want y'all to listen. God sent a prophet.
Right.
To anoint someone to be a king.
Amen.
His name was Samuel. Does that sound familiar? God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. Give him the anointing oil. Everybody with me? 1 Samuel 16:10 says, again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. Sounds good, doesn't it? But in 7 church ages, there wasn't somebody anointed to destroy the giant.
Right.
David was the 8th boy.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep, and he stinks, and he smells bad, but he's pretty. Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes. Now here's a prophet standing at the God's door, and he got this anointing oil, and God sent him to that place. Listen, God sent the anointing to your place.
Yes, amen.
Right.
Amen.
And he sent and brought him in. Now he was running with all of a beautiful countenance and good to look at. Good looking kid. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Right? Because I'm sure Samuel, when those 7 boys, they were probably big tall guys, and he went over to this one, and God said, no, he didn't feel anything. There was nothing. So that's why Samuel says, there's got to be one more. There's got to be something missing.
Alright?
Right. Like my Brother Cranham, the questions and answers, Brother George got the new seal button. He asked me yesterday, or Friday, Brother George Smith, he said, what is the greatest part of the seal book to you? And everybody would say silence in heaven or this or that. The greatest time that Brother Branham, the quote that I love Brother Branham made, he was on the questions and answers on the seals that morning. And he said, you're not getting it.
Right.
It's not for you.
Right. Yes.
Right.
Amen.
Is that what he said?
Yes, sir.
He said, you're not even supposed to get it.
That's what he said. Amen.
Amen.
So there was somebody
right.
Hallelujah.
In 2023. That's going to get it.
Amen.
It was not for them. That anointing fell on them. Just like Samuel was like, nope, not that group.
Right, right.
Not that group. And he's probably going, Lord, it's my people. He said, nope, not that. That's not the group you're going to get.
Hey, come on.
They're going to pray to the Lord. They're going to be Christians. They're going to live a good life. They're going to live the message the best they can, but there's a group coming.
Hallelujah.
That anointing is going to fall on every man.
Hallelujah.
And she's going to be an invincible army.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.
So the Lord said, "Arise, anointing, for this is he."
Yes.
Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. I bet you they were probably looking at him a little bit sideways.
Right.
Hey, David. What? This end time bride? She looks horrible. Somebody told me one time, said, the bride looks horrible. I said, brother, the bride ain't never looked horrible.
That's right, brother.
Amen. You might be looking at mixed multitude and foolish virgin, but the bride has always been beautiful, always will be beautiful. You just got to find her.
Right.
Because all Israel is not Israel.
That's right.
Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord, look, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. That it was out in the field, it was out in his daddy's house. There hadn't been a war yet. There hadn't been a Goliath. Goliath may have been a teenager. You know, probably 7 foot tall by then. But he had to wait a little while.
Right.
So now we come up. Let's set this scene like the brother did last night. David's keeping the sheep. Now listen, he's been anointed. They haven't put the crown on him yet.
Right.
He has not sat on the throne. But he's been anointed.
Yeah, right.
That's right. So, and I'm sure that anointing oil, Brother Luis, he probably washed it off. I'm sure he still didn't have that anointing oil that he had, you know, for years back. No, he washed it off. But listen, you can't wash the anointing off of yourself. You can't wash the anointing out of a prayer cloth.
Right.
You can't wash the anointing off.
Right.
Once it comes on you, and the Bible said, and Samuel said, this is going to be our king right here.
Amen.
I don't care how it looks. Yeah. I don't care how long it takes.
Yeah.
Amen.
60 years since the prophet left. Don't matter how long it takes, you will be king.
Yes.
What a consolation if you'll believe that.
Right.
Listen, try this. He believed what the prophet said.
Right.
Amen.
Try that sometime.
That's it, brother.
That's right.
Amen.
Okay? So David, he's not sitting down going, well, I'm king. I don't have to do this sheep thing no more. I don't have to do none of that. I can just kind of just sit right here under this tree and God's going to just make me king. No. And you know why he was made king? God knew he wouldn't do that.
Amen.
God knew he wouldn't be frivolous in his Christian experience. He would continue on even though the anointing was not always on it.
Right. That's right.
But one day in his walk, he hears a noise. He goes, what is that? You know, he kind of sneaks up. And even his brothers, his older brothers are like, what are you doing here? What are you doing sitting in this church?
Right.
What are you doing in these meetings?
Yeah.
What are you doing here? You're supposed to be out there. You ain't had a sign or a wonder in all your life. David said, boy, I want you to remember I killed a bear one time.
Right.
I killed a lion one time. So I had a little bit of experience here.
Right.
I just hadn't ever killed a person yet. Okay? But remember he went to the camp and here's all the other church ages standing around going, what are you doing here? I mean, brother. So what are you doing here? We thought you were, you know, you need to go back and take care of your sheep. Daddy's calling you. David may have turned around and said, yeah, I probably better leave. They just don't like me being here. But when he turned, he heard a voice.
Yes.
That he didn't like.
Amen.
That's right.
He heard a strange sound come from across the valley.
Yes.
And that strange sound wouldn't shut up. He just kept defying the armies of Israel.
Yes.
He kept defying, and he said, I defy this whole army. Send me one. Oh, he didn't know. death had made its final stand.
Final.
Yes.
Amen.
Because there was a group of people. I mean, there was David. arrows fired at the stone.
Yes, sir.
And he looked at Goliath and he didn't measure him up. You know what he saw? He saw a crown and a throne.
Yes.
Right.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, see, John.
No, sir.
He saw a crown and a throne.
Yes, sir.
He saw a promise. Because he believed what his prophet said.
Amen. Amen.
So how could he die?
No, sir.
Right.
How could he die? You tell me how David could die. If Samuel was a true prophet, a true anointing was on him, he was going to be king. He was undefeatable.
Amen.
Why? You're undefeatable if you realize that we are doing what the prophet told us. He has anointed us.
Amen.
To leave this place standing up, not 6 feet up.
Amen, bro.
So what was the light? He was a blip in the radar. That's why we gotta look at death, because all David saw was, I'm gonna be king. I gotta get through this, though. I gotta take this test.
That's right.
I can't go around him. I gotta take it.
Right.
Death, where's your stand?
Right. Yes.
Right.
Amen. Grave, where's your victory?
Yes.
One day, folks, we're gonna do the same thing with death.
Yes.
But rather than death will crawl up your sleeve and you'll just wipe it off. Listen, when we say death, I don't care if you're a hardened Christian. If you say death, you got that little tingle in your whatever you want to say. Because we're human,
right.
We see death. We see what death does.
Amen.
But why are we teaching what death is? Let's teach what life is.
Amen.
Amen.
And Goliath was only just a blip in his radar.
Right.
Goliath was not 9 feet or 14 feet tall. He was just an obstacle that David had to get through to get to the throne.
Amen.
So that's the way I see that. I see that David was anointed to be king.
Sure.
He believed that so much.
Yes.
Killed a bear, killed a lion, didn't bother him a bit. Right. Come up to Goliath and he wasn't like, now, I need to go back, I need to find my quote book.
Right.
I need to go talk to Brother Andre, I really got to get, you know.
Yeah.
No, he said, hey, you quit defying the army of God.
Right.
Or something's going to happen. Buddy.
Right.
That's the same thing. Death has been defying us for years.
Amen.
But there's an anointing on this bride in the end time for somebody to stand up and say, death, you've been destroyed.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
You show us a fairy tale. Well, we'll do your funeral.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Praise you, God.
Everybody all right?
Amen.
I'm just playing. We're either going to go in here, we're going to go out of here standing up, or we're going back to come up in the resurrection. No shame in either one.
That's right.
No shame in either one. None at all.
No.
That's right.
But don't you want to be here at the end?
Amen.
I've heard about this all my life.
Yes.
I've heard about this great thing that's coming, this great rapture, this great resurrection, this great coming back together where I don't move my finger in there.
Right.
Where this glorified body,
yes,
is going to just materialize.
Amen.
It's not a fairy tale.
No, sir.
Kids, it's not a fairy tale.
Right.
You can watch all that junk on DC and comic books. That's just a type of what's going to happen to you. When they morph into this and morph into that, you know, they become superhuman. But remember, they all got a flaw.
Right.
Everyone got a flaw.
Right.
Everyone got a kryptonite. Everyone got a whatever you want to put in that.
Right.
There's not been one that stood and said, I'm the champion.
Right.
And never been undefeated. Well, we have one.
Amen.
And he's not in a comic book. He's in your heart.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Well, let's be David. Let's not be just David and throwing stone. Let's just believe that we, the Bible tells us we are to be what? Priests and
kings.
So we've been anointed.
Right.
By the anointed word. And we have an anointed prophet come and give us an anointed word for an anointed people.
Amen.
So, Lord, I looked at that real funny when it said smear.
Yes.
You know, when anointed means to smear like peanut butter on a sandwich. Well, you know what? Lord, smear me.
Amen.
Smear it on me to where me don't show no more.
Amen.
Just smear it all over me.
Yeah.
Some of y'all don't want that. You don't even want it. I'd like to be smeared by God.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Trying to do God's service without being his will in 1965. Good gracious.
Bless me.
We got all the time in the world.
Yes.
Right.
See how the Holy Spirit, now let's look at this. We got to look at the flip side because there's false anointing one. There's an anointing coming and it's here now. It's false.
Yes.
Now the Holy Ghost is not false, the anointing is.
Right.
Have I with you?
Right.
But really, Brother Brown called it false anointing one.
Right.
Now look, here's from Trying to Do God's Service. This is right about the time he was preaching out in 1965. He said, see how the Holy Spirit can anoint a man, but it's got to be in the order of the anointing.
Right.
Got me? It's got to be in the order of the anointing.
Amen.
The outside spirit can be anointed with the Holy Ghost, and the soul is dark as pitch.
That's right, bro.
Amen.
Folks, that's why we've had people come among us. You have here, we have at our church, where they come in and then disappear.
Yes.
Amen.
But we had one, this brother sat on the front row, and this was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and he was like right on the front row. It was like Dad said, though, he was like a candle that burned on both ends. Mm-hmm. He burned out real quick.
Right. Amen.
Disappeared. Wow. You'd have thought he was a candidate for being right.
Right.
But he didn't get it in here. He just got an anointing.
Yes.
He got caught up in the moment.
Right.
I don't want us to get caught up in a moment.
No, sir.
The only time I want us to get caught up is in the moment in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
Right? The cuckoo bird grows on the same water that builds that puts life in the wheat. But at the bottom, he's still a cuckoo bird.
Right.
It's rejoicing, blooming, got life, doing everything that the wheat does. But the soul is still a cuckoo bird. False teachers can rise teaching all kind of Trinitarianism and everything else and be anointed with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And perform just as many miracles as the true gospel can, but by the word, they're false.
That's right. Man.
Wow. How you like that?
Tremendous. Right.
But remember, Brother Brown makes it specific. It's got to be in the order of the anointing.
Yes.
Got to be in the order. Got to be in the right time, right place. And all that. Right. Got to be placed right.
Right.
All right. 1963, Brother Brown, the world falling apart. He finds out, we find out the same thing took place in Egypt when Moses led the children of Israel. The whole Egyptian system had become corrupt. Well, praise God, this is the same thing right here in this
year.
All right. The whole place has become corrupt. We find out now it takes place when God sent an anointed messenger.
Amen.
Down there with his word.
Right.
It was to fulfill his word.
Right.
You say, was it to fulfill his word? Yes. He told Abraham that's exactly what he would do. And there had to be someone come on the scene at that time to make that word live right before them. God sent Moses. Remember, Brother Brown, many times he said he didn't send Moses with Noah's message. He didn't send Noah with Jonah's message. And no, he sent him with the right message.
Right.
In other words, he sent him with the right anointing.
Right.
And there had to be someone come on the scene at that time to make that word live right before them. So he said, God sent Moses. The very thing he promised to do, he did.
Right.
Because he was the anointed word for that hour. He said he would judge the world. God's word said, I'll judge that nation with great mighty wonders and signs. There stood a man, just an ordinary man like you or me, got the word from God and went out there and spoke creation.
That's right.
Into existence.
That's right.
Wow. Picked up sand and said, please come from the earth. And the word of God through that prophet's mouth, being it was right in the hour it was supposed to be, fleas came.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
He covered the earth with frogs, lice. He covered everything. Because God made the promise, like I said before. God made David a promise to a prophet.
Yes.
He was going to be a king. Didn't matter what he was going to be a king.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
That's what we got to see.
Yes.
Right.
You know, some of my children, or one of them is out in the world, but you know, you can't look at the trial part.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
The test. The journey
yes.
part.
Right.
Because remember what Brother Graham said about the baby. He said he saw him already with the baby because he got the birdie and the bird eye and the boobies and all that stuff and pins
yes.
and all that because he could see that baby. I
Amen.
See my children sitting in church.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't see that other stuff they do.
Right.
But you know what? I can't save them. You can't save them. My mom tried to save me for 20 years.
Yeah. Right.
Your mama can't save you.
Right.
Your daddy can't save you. Yeah, your heavenly father can, but your daddy and mama can't save you. You got to go to God. Let God save you. And I promise you, the problem won't go away, but you sure learn how to handle it.
Amen.
Man, I've always said, the Holy Ghost doesn't take away all your problems, but it will help you get through it.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Right.
God made a promise, and the hour was there for it to be anointed. The anointed word for that hour that they lived in. That's what we need today, is not back into some seminary system, but the anointed word for the hour that we live in to bring forth Jesus Christ to the world again.
Yes.
Say yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
There's a program laid out for this day.
Right.
A promise of God. And the only way that we're ever going to be able to get right is to let the word be anointed.
Amen.
That's right. It's always happened. Yes. We find out the great moral pollution in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. He had a man anointed. When the handwriting was on the wall, he had a man standing there to read.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah, right.
Days of what? He had a man standing there.
Right.
In the days of Jesus Christ, we find out the man-made system had got the world in such a condition, their politics was rotten, everything was falling apart. Now we've done the same thing, turned back around and corrupted the Word of God by systematic religion, till we find it falling apart. There is nothing at all we can do. Listen. There's nothing at all we can do but come back to that anointed word for your hour.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen, Luther's Holy Ghost, Luther's justification, will not even put you in the body.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen, brother. That's
right.
Amen.
That's right.
Right.
Wesley's sanctification. Yeah, it'll clean you up, make you live better.
Right.
You can be anointed. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's the word of this hour. That's
Amen.
Why Brother Frank didn't come to change anything.
Mm-hmm.
He just come to tell us that's exactly what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Right. Be justified and sanctified. I truly believe in all three, because you know what? I went through all three.
Amen.
Amen. If you can't say now I'm in your pulpit.
Listen, Lord.
You got to know that you know, though.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Absolutely.
If you can't sit down and write your story of being a Christian, you're not on fire.
That's right.
Amen.
I got saved right here. I got justified right here. I got sanctified right here. I got filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You got to know that.
Yes, sir.
And you got to put a stake down. You say, well, I don't know. Well, go back.
Amen.
You got a little time. You're still alive.
Right.
Still sucking down.
Right.
Say, God, justify me. God, sanctify me. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. I may have been a made believer for years.
That's right.
But make me a true believer now.
Amen.
Because this is anointing now for not that, it's to get out of here.
Yes.
And I'll promise you one thing, folks. Noah preached 120 years. He was anointed to preach that message.
Right.
But one day God said, that's it.
That's right.
I'm sure Noah had friends.
Right.
I'm sure Noah had other family members. Maybe, you know, uncle, aunts, whatever. And he was compelling them to come in like we do. Come, sirs. Come on. Come in here. But one day God shut the door and said, that's it.
That's right.
No one's going in and no one's coming out. The days of the Gentiles are about over, folks.
That's right.
And I'm not going to shut the door. Brother Andre's not going to shut the door.
No.
Any other minister's going to shut the door. God's going to shut the door. And say, that's enough.
That's right.
That's right.
That's enough. We've been preaching for all these years. There's a time to go up. We went around Horeb. We went in the desert. We've done everything. We 60 years.
That's right.
It will produce itself.
Amen.
Yeah.
It will, whether you want it, you can sit there all day long, like Brother Graham said, you can sit there and say, sun ain't coming up. Sun ain't coming up. Sun ain't coming up. Bless God, I'm right. Sun ain't coming up. I'll promise you by 6:15 in the morning, you'll be pretty wrong.
Right.
You'll have wasted your time.
Amen.
No, the sun's going to come up.
Amen. Right.
There will be a message.
Right.
It is a message, but there will be a message anointed to carry us out of here.
Yes.
Amen.
And I believe we're under it now.
Amen. Amen.
I truly do. Matthew 3, verse 16. Now here we are. Let's look at Jesus real quick.
Yes.
Let's
get to Him. We've been in the anointing in the Old Testament, which came on a group of people, and it would leave. It would come on David, and he'd write the great Psalms, and he would do all these wonderful things, but yet when the anointing came off of him, he had his best friend killed.
That's right, bro.
And committed adultery. And lied.
That's right.
General David would have died if he hadn't had a prophet there.
That's right.
What did David say? Bring that man here! You know, David comes in and says, you know, this is stealing the sheep and all this stuff. David, old self-righteous David, at the time, He was king already, you know, already had a crown on his head. He said, bring him, let's go bring him. And just like we bring him, God, bring him here. The prophet looked at him and said, you're the man, David.
That's right. Right.
You're the man. He said, but what? He said, but David, I prayed for you.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
Jesus in Matthew 17.
Amen.
John 17. He prayed for us.
Right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
To me, that's my Lord's prayer. Yes. You have the other one, but this is my Lord's prayer.
Yes, sir, brother.
Amen.
That's right.
Matthew 3, verse 16 says, Jesus, when he was baptized, went straight up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. All right, so we're watching this scene. We're looking at this scene as a commentary. We see Jesus. We see John. We see the baptism. We see him come out of the water. And then we see... Brother Albert, we see this form, this anointing.
Yes.
And it went on Jesus.
Right.
Laid right on him.
Right.
Now listen, he didn't need the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Right.
It had to be an anointing for something for him to do.
Yes, sir.
He pronounced it in the book of Luke. He said, preach.
That's it.
Amen.
For 29 and a half years, those silent years, he might have said a few things, but it wasn't for me and you. But
right.
That thing lit on him, he had a 3.5 year job.
Amen. Absolutely.
All right?
Yes, sir.
Remember, they tried to kill him many, many times. But with that anointing on him.
No, sir.
And what anointing was that?
Son of man. Yes, sir.
Was it?
Yes, sir.
The voice said, this is my beloved son, and he might well please. Now, he didn't say here to him either.
That's right.
Man, had to wait for Matthew until he went, until he lived a little bit longer through his journey, almost getting ready to Calvary. Then he goes up on a mountain.
Yes.
Right.
And God adopts him. This is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him.
Right. Amen.
So this first part, there had to be something extra that was added.
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Remember, you get everything you need for your journey, but you just don't know how to use it.
Right.
I believe the Bible even tells us that Jesus grew in what? Grace and knowledge. And being made perfect.
Amen.
Being made perfect became the author of our salvation.
Yes, sir.
In his humanity, he had issues.
Yes.
Amen. Right.
Yes, sir.
Right.
He didn't want to die.
That's right.
We look at Brother Brown. I was reading yesterday or the other day. We were still in the statute of perfect man. We're on Brother Connors, 119th sermon. We'll get there. But Brother Brown tells about he had complexes. He had a critical spirit get on him. Y'all know because I read you the quote. He had a critical spirit get on him. He had a selfish spirit get on him. He would have committed suicide. One day he went through the motions. No. He took his glove off and reached for the water.
Right. Amen.
He took the gun out and loaded it.
Right.
He would have been a murderer also. He got real mad. Got his .22 out, loaded that thing up, and I can see him running down that dirt road trying to shoot them with nothing going off. He's literally trying to shoot them kids.
Right.
Oh, y'all get quiet when you start talking about a prophet like that.
Come on, man.
Go ahead, brother.
Come on, brother.
He was an example.
Been there.
But look, he overcome every one of them.
Right.
So can you.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I like it. You know, Brother Brown, we always try to find this magic potion. We try to take this quote, mix it in with this one, and put a little scripture on it, you know, and come up with this. Well, here, go wash this bar of soap. Here, go wash yourself with it. This will take care of everything. No.
That's right.
Brother Brown, I've got a stingy spirit. What do I do? Oh, now, brother, you got to get down right here. You got to look at Jesus. You got to do this. You got to do all this. What do you tell him to do?
Yep.
He said, do the vice versa.
Right.
What a revelation.
Right. Amen.
And I know y'all mountain people know what vice versa means.
Yeah.
It wasn't some great sermon.
No,
surprise.
You said you're stingy? Give it away.
Yes, sir. Right. Simple
that.
That's
right.
And now, to me, though, that's how simple Christianity is if you'll do it right.
Yes,
Amen.
There is no magic potion. There is no magic. There is some promises, though. What's this point? She and yesterday, the other day, I'm sorry, they'll fall out. Sometimes you call people name and they go, I know you won't. But she said, she stood the other day and she was so profound, but I was thinking on the same thing. She said, I have done what God has told me to do. As far as promises for his kid, for a kid, or whatever more, X, Y, Z, but you got to put yourself in it too. She said, I've done what I'm supposed to do. That's our problem a lot of times.
Amen.
You know, we like to put people in water and baptize them. We want to get wet. I've baptized a lot of wet sinners.
Right.
Because Peter said, repent.
Right. Amen.
And then be baptized.
Right.
So Sister Linda said, well, I've done that. You know, she goes through, and it is kind of a formula a little, but the prophet taught us when we've done all we know to do, when we've laid them in the hands of God, when we close our eyes and say, God, they're yours, what did he say when you've done everything to do? He said, stand.
Stand. Right. Amen.
Yes. Right. That's what you've done. So you know what she's done? She has triggered God's word and has made him do what he said he did.
Yes.
Amen.
Man. Made him do it. He cannot do it. May not be today. Gotta have patience, it's right there.
Yes.
Amen. But he will do it if you'll do everything you're supposed to do.
Amen.
You see people struggle. Can I preach this a minute?
Yeah. Preach, brother.
You see people struggle with finances, they ain't paying their tithe.
Right, right.
I can't afford to. You can't afford not to.
That's right.
Amen.
Right, brother.
Well, I got all these issues. I hadn't seen you in church in 3 weeks. This one, do what God said. You'll do what God said. He's got to honor what he's
saying. Amen.
Right. He's got to honor his word. And that's our anointing. The anointing from the end time is for God to do what his word said he would do.
Right. Amen.
All in a nutshell.
Yes, sir.
That's what you and I are here to do. Say, God, you said it. Now you're going to have to change my body. I can't. Well, I keep getting older and older. Mm-hmm. There's an 18-year-old inside there.
Yes, sir.
If you got to be birthed. Because remember that Genesis 1:26 man, not old.
No, sir.
Right, man.
When he's 18 years old. Yes, it's that picture. It's that album that God took. Right. That you're created in that image.
Right.
He had to get your mom and daddy here to bring you your image here.
Yeah.
But God must have really liked it because Brother Andre, you're not going to be 6'4 and 150 pounds. In the future home. We're still going to have to say, hey, brother! Right? Because he likes you the way you are.
Amen.
That's right.
He likes me the way I am.
I love him too.
Amen.
Amen.
But it's true. God made you for a purpose.
Yes. That's right.
If he made the devil for a purpose, praise God, he made you for a purpose. Alright, so let's continue just for a minute. Is everybody alright?
Amen.
That food's getting better. About 1:30 this afternoon, we'll sit down and eat natural food. But let's just eat a little bit of spirit. Let's see what God said about his birth. John 1:32 says, though John got a record, what? Saying, I saw the Spirit. Now, John was a prophet. Like Brother Brown was a prophet. I was looking at one of your books. You can see the hood. Remember Brother Brown said the hood over that sister.
Yes.
Now, see, he was looking at a realm that nobody had ever seen.
Right.
He saw things. Sometimes he said, I have to pinch myself to see if I'm in this dimension or in this dimension. He was so much back and forth. Praise God, we don't have to do that.
Amen.
I want to thank every one of y'all love me. I don't want to discern the half of you, don't.
Alright,
Listen, when they hugged Brother Brown's neck, he knew if they liked him or not.
He knew.
He knew it. I don't want to know that. I want to thank everybody love me.
That's
yeah.
Right.
It drive everybody crazy but Brother Brown because he's the only one he got to get. That's what I mean about that. He picked that person.
Right.
He picked that character that Brother Brown could handle that.
Yeah.
You and I can't handle that.
Amen.
I love what another preacher said one time. He said, you know, Brother Brown stood up maybe 2 or 3 times in his during his sermons and he'd say, he said, I can't keep a secret. I just can't keep a secret. Well, Sister Gail, pray to God he can't keep a secret. I'm glad he told me everything God told him that we needed.
Right. Amen.
I'm glad he didn't take that with him. I'm glad he gave us 1,100 sermons that was God talking to me and you.
Amen.
before we've had the end time, folks. We've had it laid in the flat.
Yes.
Right here.
Yes.
And most don't want it.
Right.
So anyway, so here's John. Here's John. Here's a prophet. He's in the water. And he baptized Jesus. And he says, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. It wasn't a dove. It was like a dove. So it was fluttering down. And abode upon him. Abode upon him.
Yes.
Everybody with me? If you read it, John 1, verse 32, verse 33. And I knew him not.
Right.
But he that sent me to baptize with water, which was the one that led him out of the wilderness, which was the Father, which was Jehovah God, or however you want to say his name, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. There's no doubt he had been around maybe some of the Pharisees, or maybe even Caiaphas. He'd seen Caiaphas, and being a prophet, he could see Caiaphas heading toward the temple, and he'd see an anointing fall on him.
Yes.
Right.
But when Caiaphas come out, he'd see that anointing leaving. He'd see those Pharisees, he'd see anointing fall on them. Then he'd see anointing leaving.
That's right.
But God instructed the prophet. He says, whatever the ones you see, whatever the one, he didn't say a bunch. He said one. Now it's a bunch now. But he said, whoever you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him,
amen,
the same as which baptizes with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
So remember, he didn't need the Holy Ghost.
That's
right. He was the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Bible says his Spirit was the Spirit sometimes, and not with man, spake to the prophets. Brother Brown said, the Holy Spirit. All right? So, you know, you can believe whatever you want to about Jesus being a normal man over here and being God over here. Be careful.
Right.
You make him another person. Mm-hmm. You make him schizophrenic if he had two or three personalities inside of him.
That's right.
Right? I just believe he was born Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen.
That's enough for me. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
All right? He wasn't part God. He was all God. That's what the Brother Brown said.
Right.
I'll read it to you in a minute. He said, we get it by measure. He got it without measure.
Right.
Amen. So without measure means everything. Means the whole cup.
That's right.
Right? But he didn't have a human side. He didn't have a human flesh. He didn't have a human brain. Didn't have to live. Because he had to live like me and you. He had to be like us.
That's right.
He had to be our brother.
That's
right. Amen.
So now remember, we look and we see now, I want you to kind of polish your brain out a little bit. We know that the prophet of God told us that when Jesus stood and he said, who do men say that I am? Right? Some say you're a lot, some say you're this, some say you're that. So who do you think I am? I'm asking you today, what do you think this message is about?
Right.
Well, I've heard Tay, or I've heard Brother Donnie, or I've heard Brother Dale. I want to know what you know about it. I want to know what you say about it. I want to know your experience. If you don't have one, you need to fight and get one.
Right.
Amen.
But God is Spirit. Everybody with me? That's what the Bible says.
Right.
But that Spirit came into human flesh, John 1:1. We've been reading it for 119 sermons. In the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh.
Yes. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Now, how many of y'all thought about Jesus when I said that? I know my people did. I think of me.
Amen.
I think of you, Brother John.
Yes.
The Word has now become flesh. Amen. In your flesh.
Right.
Sure it did back there, but that's our example.
Right.
But right here today, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The world is going to know just for a moment that God walked in a bunch of people on this earth.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Just for a moment. And listen, if you're somewhere else, just like my daddy's always said, if you want to take a train trip, a trip on a train, don't buy a ticket at the airline counter. That's being at the wrong place at the wrong time. But you got a ticket?
True.
Well, you got a ticket to the wrong place.
Right
place, right time. All right, let's go. Son of man, though, the Son of God is Spirit God. Everybody with me?
Right?
The Son of man, though, was the preacher. He was the Word made flesh. He was the one they could hold on to. They never understood that man. Never understood. They knew there was parts of them that would say, there's something about you. Even Peter said, thou art the Christ,
right,
the Son of the living God.
Right.
He didn't say Son of Man.
That's right.
Because Jesus asked him a question. Who do thou say I the Son of Man am?
Right.
He didn't even answer the question because he didn't know the question.
That's right.
He just knew there was something about that guy. But on the day of Pentecost, when that man came back into that group of people,
yes.
And I'm going to tell you something. If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, who wrote this? The Holy Ghost wrote this. Who men?
That's right.
Right?
Man.
Now if you open it, it's the Holy Ghost reading what the Holy Ghost wrote.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And if it's Christ, if you've got the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can't say something to me, can't say something, this can't say something different.
Right.
Got to say the same thing. That's why the Son of Man ministry had to come back in the end time. Under the Son of God ministry, listen just for a few minutes. Under the Son of God ministry, Luther could preach Trinitarianism. Baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God winked at his ignorance because he didn't. That wasn't the time. That wasn't the anointing for that moment.
That's right.
John Wesley, the same way. He could preach Trinitarian doctrine, and God would say, "Oh, that's okay. I just want you to do this.
Sure.
I want you to get my people sanctified."
Amen.
Amen. Come to the Pentecostal. I want you to be able to expound on the gifts. I want you to be able to use the gift. Because I'm going to send a prophet. See, if God would have sent a prophet in Luther's day, our prophet, people would be going like, "Whoa, this is fanatical." But he sent Brother Branham right at that Pentecostal time. He just stepped right in. He believed in tongues. He believed in interpretations. He believed in healing. So it was just God stepping right up the line.
Amen.
Putting those Pentecostals right where they needed to be. Gave them anointing of the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Brought back the truth of speaking in tongues. And the truth, even when it fell on the day of Pentecost, it fell on Trinitarians.
Yeah, that's right.
They didn't have it all right.
That's right.
But they had some things right. But then you come up with a oneness group. Then you got Brother Brown teaching what? Going back and teaching us what Paul said.
Right. Yeah.
Teaching us what Peter said. Right. Am I with you?
Yes.
So we look and see that Brother Branham, he comes and he preaches his message and he tells the people, it's like on the seals, he said, "You're not getting it." But remember, in the church age book, Brother Branham said, this messenger, Malachi 4, has come to do two things.
Yes.
Amen.
I can quote it without even looking at it.
Amen.
Right? First, to turn the hearts of the children back. Children, babbling babies, Pentecostal babies, back to the faith of the Father.
Yes.
Right? Back to water baptism, correct. Back to where there's no eternal hell. Back to where there's not. Sorry to say, two souls. That's the name. I'm not getting into doctrine. But you see what it was, he was bringing us back to that, right? But then he said it was going to do two things.
Yes.
Amen.
The second one is, remember, the book was closed back in about AD 30 or AD 20 something. Jesus closed the book, right? I read you the scripture. He closed the book, handed it back to the preacher.
Right.
Now, Revelation 10:7, that same man pulled the book open again.
That's right.
And precious words, 1,100 sermons, proceeded out of his mind.
Amen.
Amen.
And now we're working this day through Scripture.
Right.
This whole day.
Right.
Amen.
Not a day, 24-hour day. Remember, thank God for a prophet. One more time, did everybody believe Brother Branham was a prophet?
Amen.
I want to make sure y'all haven't left until I come back in. But you look and see that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Brother Branham said that wasn't a 24-hour day.
Right.
When I say Lord bless this day, I mean the day of the bride.
Amen.
Not your 24-hour day. The day of the bride, the day when we're supposed to manifest, not just the Son of God, but the Son of Man.
Amen.
We're to be the preacher.
Yes.
Right.
That's why people are killing the influence of apostles, pastors, teachers, and evangelists.
That's right.
They're killing that. Why? Satan hates that. He knows if he can stop the ministry, he can stop the bride.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
But don't we believe in promises?
Amen.
We made it. Revelation 5 said we did.
Yes, sir.
Made us kings and priests.
Amen.
So somebody made it.
Amen. Praise God.
Let me read this real quick and we'll close right here. Brother Brown said in 1955, Jesus had the greatest anointing of any man. Now listen, that great anointing was on him to preach the gospel, right?
Right.
Right. What came on him at the River Jordan was an anointing for a ministry of 3.5 years, because that's why, what's happening now? We're under the Son of Man ministry, so we're getting that same 3.5 year message,
yes, sir,
that Jesus preached.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Amen. Right.
But now remember, there was a time that that anointing came off of Jesus.
Right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Jesus had the greatest anointing of any man ever on earth. Is that right? One day he went into the temple. They gave him a scroll. He picked it up. He sat down and read Isaiah, where it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the acceptable year," and so forth. Brother Brown talking. The Jubilee year.
Yes.
He put that in there.
Right.
And he took the scroll and handed it back and sat down, and precious words proceeded from his mouth. The greatest anointing that was ever on the earth.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
All back to this look. Noah's ain't anointing.
Amen.
I'm going to read that one more time.
Yes.
Oh, sometimes we Methodists get Noah's confused with anointing.
Right.
Amen. Noah's ain't anointing. Boy, you can't get a Methodist to shout down about it.
Right.
No.
Noah. No, you're wrong about that. Noah's ain't anointing. No, no. I've seen a lot of noise and not faith enough to cure toothache. You've got to come solemnly to the Father. You've got to know exactly where you stand.
Right. Amen.
Brother Brown, why am I people so tossed about 1956? Some people get the wrong impression of what the anointing is. Did you ever think of that? When was the greatest anointing that ever was to anyone? What did they do when they had the anointing? The greatest anointing that was ever given to anyone was Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit by measure. He had it without measure.
Right.
All right. And one day he entered into the temple and he picked up the scroll and he read, "The Spirit of God is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach the acceptable year, bind up the broken heart, heal the sick, give sight to the blind." Now we would think if such anointing was on him, there had been prophesied 800 years before that it would come. And here he was with that type of anointing. The full blessing and anointing of the Lord upon him, that we would want to run all over the building, screaming and hollering, but the Bible said he put the scroll down, sat down, and precious words proceeded from his mouth.
Yes.
Here's the thing. That's what he done under that anointing. The anointing is not emotion.
Right. That's right.
The anointing is supreme power.
Amen.
In control.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, he gives us a comma, like knowing exactly what and how to do.
Yes. Amen.
Here he is.
Amen.
Amen.
So now let's look real quick. 1965, Rodney's son, Brother Ryan tells us. We know the Spirit came on him on the River Jordan.
Yes.
Anointed him for a ministry, which was the ministry of the Son of Man. He preached the perfect Word of God. He preached every doctrine, true doctrine, there ever was. Now, they got all the false ones out of it, but he preached all the true doctrine.
Yes, sir.
All right, everybody with me? So now look, 1965. Now notice this quickening power, Zoe. Musicians, come on. Bring the Word. The mind that was in Christ was in you then. I'll try to show you that when you raise. When God raised Jesus from the dead, He raised you also.
Right, right. Amen, brother.
You believe that?
Amen.
I do, because that Genesis 1:26, man was inside of that man.
Right.
All bottled up. All encapsulated. You know, if you take a pill, I don't have a vitamin, I took one a minute ago. But is the vitamin the outside?
No.
No. That's just gelatin. Then when it gets into your stomach, it dissolves.
Right.
That ought to be a sermon. Amen. It's not going to do you any good. The medicine's on the inside.
Right.
And also, quickened to life with Him, you are now quickened to life. Although, when you were but an attribute in His thoughts, but God saw all in Him at the finish. So now He's saying, at the finish.
Yes.
Right. Is this not the finish?
Amen.
Okay, this is the finish.
Yes.
So He's talking about us then.
Yes.
Right.
Look, He said the Spirit left Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to die a man.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
He could have died as God.
Right.
So what Spirit left him?
Yes.
The Spirit of his 3.5 year ministry.
Amen.
Where they could not kill him, they tried to throw him off a cliff. They tried to stone him. They did everything in the world they could to try to kill him. Trap him. Trap him in his own words. Trap him in the scripture. They tried for 3.5 years. You think you got issue? They hated him. They hated him so much they hadn't put you on a cross yet. They hated him so much they hung him on a cross.
That's right.
Remember, they didn't hang him for the good works he did.
No, sir.
That's right.
They hung him for saying he was God.
Amen.
They'll hang him for saying he
was God. Amen.
If you really believe. So the Spirit left him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to die a man. Remember, friends, he didn't have to. That was God. God anointed that flesh, which was human flesh. If he had went up there as God, he'd have never died that kind of death. Can't kill God.
That's right.
But he didn't have to.
Sure.
But remember, he went there with you.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, thank you.
All of his kids. Bottled up and encapsulated in that flesh.
Yes.
Couldn't get out. But on that cross, when he died,
amen.
I stand on feet. You know, the Bible tells us that your names are engraved where? In the palm of the hand.
Right.
Brother Joel, when they drove that nail through that palm,
yes, sir.
It went through my name. You can say it went through yours if you want to, but it went through mine. I make it personal.
Amen.
I'm the one who put him up there. I'm the one who hung him up there. So he put that nail, they put that nail right through my name. But remember, he went there with you and him. God never separated the bride from the groom yet.
Right.
So when God looked down upon that body of Christ, we saw both male and female.
Amen.
All redeemed in that one body. They are one. Same word. The same word spoke of the groom speaks of the bride.
Yes.
Amen.
So remember, Pentecost was a birth. Then an anointing came. The book was closed. There was a 3.5 year ministry to come. Brother Branham comes, and I just believe that when he went to Arizona over there, and the cloud that they hate so much for, I'm glad they hate it. That's okay. I'm glad they hate it. I love it.
Right.
Right.
Well, that cloud is a symbol to me that Christ came back down.
Amen.
With an open book.
Yes.
Gave it to the prophet. The prophet delivered it to us. He did not take it with him. He gave it to me and you. So
yes.
Thank God.
Amen.
So that 3.5 year ministry, he could not die.
Right.
But he was rejected. The headstone was rejected.
Right.
Amen.
Luke 17:30 says, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is to be revealed.
Amen.
Final voice, final age, final anointing for the Gentiles. You're it.
Amen.
You're it. Bride, we've arrived.
Yes.
This is the anointing we've been looking for.
Right.
Don't tell me it looks bad. It looks good.
Looks good.
Amen.
We can still fight. We can still fuss. There's going to be a time when everything's going to come together. Because listen, Jesus never had an argument with his own self.
Amen.
That's right.
Right.
Never.
Jesus never had an argument with the Father.
Amen.
He said, I only do that. So he wasn't saying that. No, I'm not going to do that. Yes, you are. No, I'm not this. Same way with us. I'm not going to church today. Yes, you are. I'm not going to that church. Well, yes, you are, because there's people over there. There's believers.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
Love you, Lord.
Amen.
Love you guys. Appreciate you. That anointing is here, though.
Yes.
It's for us.
Amen.
To reach and grab a hold of us.
Right. Yes, sir.
And just let, Brother Jackie, let it smear all over you.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, just let that oil run all the way from head to toe. God cover every inch of my body, because if there's a piece left, the devil's going to try to get.
Yes, sir.
Let him just saturate all of us today.
Amen.
Let every one of us go home and realize you're bride.
Yes.
You have a promise.
Amen.
Brother Ronnie, you got an anointing on you. You know, well, I'm just about dead as a doornail. That'd be him talking. I'm about dead as a doornail. No, you're not. There's something working. Something keeps holding me.
Yes.
Amen.
What a song to go with that.
Amen.
Something keeps holding me. I can't hold myself.
Yeah.
But like Sister Linda, though, she's not holding to herself. She's holding to God's unchanging hand. She's holding to God's promise. That's what you got to do. Quit leaning on, like Brother Louis said, quit leaning on a man and quit leaning on names and name dropping and all that. Let's drop one name.
Right.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus
Christ. Amen.
He's supreme. He's the authority. But He is in you.
Yeah,
sure. He's not up there somewhere. He's right here.
Amen.
Your glorified body's being built right here.
Yes.
You ain't got to go get it. Where you got to go get it to? It's right here. It's being built by the word that's being anointed right now. Right now. The power of transformation. Read that book or listen to that tape. God's power to transform. Because you know what? We can't do it. We put on hair color. We put on... Never mind. Like David said, you just paint but don't learn. Let's sing a song. I want God to change me. I don't want man to change me. I want God to change me. Alright, I don't want anything to put on. I told the church the other day, Brother Allen, I said, I am so glad that my wife don't have to go to that whatever that thing is, Max Factor, all like Brother Brown was talking about. You go to some people's house, you know, the unbeliever, you go to their use their restroom, you know, or you open up the cabinet to get something, or to get something out, and they unfold like threefold. And there's this color blush, this color lipstick, this color liner, this color this. I'm so glad my wife ain't got to do that with.
Amen.
I'm glad we don't have to get up in the morning and I go, whoa! Put something on. No. I love her just like it. You know what? That's original. That's God. And that's not God looking at us going, oh, no. He's saying you're beautiful.
Right.
I love you just the way you are. Quit putting stuff on.
Right.
Quit putting on X, Y, Z, whatever you want to say. Quit putting that on.
Right.
The only thing he wants you to put on is the whole armor of God. That's all he wants you to put on.
Yes.
And there's nothing for your backside, so don't be retreating. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
God's attributes were manifested in His bride this last night. We have called the revelation of tonight's prophet. We know who we are and what praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
For the original line,
the original line.
Whatever seed, the seed is the word of God.
Quickening power that Jesus was all the quickening power.
Yeah, right.
He said that same quickening power that raised up Jesus, when he raised up Jesus, he hath already raised you up with him and seated you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we're only catching up to what he has already made us in Christ. We are sons and daughters of God. We're thankful for that. Let's give the Lord. Start preaching. I tell you what, that's what we want to leave with that word resonating in our heart. With who you are, especially in this hour, Satan has so marred the identification of people. They don't know who they are, what they are, why they're here, what their purpose. And our precious brother speaking on that anointing with purpose. How thankful we are that the purpose of God, the foreknowledge of God that operates in our lives, bringing us to a reality that we're not two, Brother Brown said, they'll make it two every time. But it's Christ in you, the hope of the Lord. And so, Brother Wade, we appreciate that. Let's give Brother Wade a hand. Really, surrendering to the Lord, speaking those great words of truth, these words that's transforming us into His image, that we're not looking for another person or another man, but the Word, the Christ that's in you. As the Apostle Paul, speaking to the Hebrews, he tried to get them to see the great perfection that moved from Judaism. And he talked about Jesus Christ. He said how Moses built his house and Christ built his house. Whose house were you? But then he goes on to the ministry of Melchizedek, and he begins to talk about the perfection of who you are. And so when we see, as Brother Wade ministered today, showing us the great anointing that came upon the Lord, it did not come and go, it did not come and go. The brother opened our eyes to the different anointings, the Old Testament anointing, the false anointing, but the anointed bride in this hour that you are, that's not coming and going, that's not flipping the switch on and off, that's not son and daughter of God one day and not. We're thankful. We've recognized who we are, and we're thankful that this day, this scripture is fulfilled. What a wonderful 3 days the Lord has given all of us. And once again, we want to thank you all for coming up from Georgia, from Lula, and Brother Samuel Dale, our wonderful pastor there. We want to thank him and his lovely wife for making that sacrifice and trip to come up, and all of you coming up and just seeing the smiles on your face, the fellowship, and we are brothers and sisters, and we appreciate that so much. The group here, I can't say enough for Sister Kay Peterson. I tell you what, she's just 24/7 working there with her husband back there, and just working to get all these things together. I told my wife, I said, we're going to have to pay for them a vacation to go somewhere for a long time. Don't even answer the phone if you don't have to. But we thank this lovely group here in Irwin. You're so special. How everybody was so excited, brother. Not just talking about the meetings, but we've been praying for weeks and months for this time. And so we don't want to let this like water off a duck's back. We're going to hold to that word. Brother Joel Brown came and poured out his soul last night, encouraged all of us, spoke to all of us, and we heard that word. Even we have some, I wouldn't dare mention, that went home, families that went home last night and prayed for their parents, prayed for these meetings, and prayed for Brother Wade. They even told me we're praying for Brother Wade. I thought, what care to this lovely family. Family is. And I thank God. That's the kind of caliber we have with these believers here in Irwin. And so when we see that and seeing our precious brother Luis and his wonderful ministry and the family that he has, and Brother Aaron here, Brother Bob went back last night, Wade, these wonderful ministers have come up and been a great blessing to the church here. You know, with open arms, and the believers are so, they're feeding, you know, as a minister, when you see your people feeding on the word And not just a bunch of nonsense, but really feeding on the substance. And when we have these kind of ministries that y'all have sent up, it's just been a very, very, you know, it's the hand of God. And let me say this real quick, and then we'll prepare to leave and those things. You as a minister and as a believer, you watch the hand of God in your life. You watch that. And then just however God deals with you. I've been a Christian about 30 years, and for me to just wake up to, I don't know how God deals, I don't know, but please come on. I mean, I know something about being a Christian, you know. It's a shame, like he said this morning. It's a shame when we come to church and we don't grow in the Word. It's a shame when we've been reading from 2 Peter 3:18 where Peter says, grow in the grace and the knowledge as Jesus did. And so when we're coming to church, but we're, you know, 2 months later we hadn't learned, we hadn't received, when Jesus said, come unto me and learn of me. That's his words. Come unto me and learn of me. And so, you know, just like you, Brother Wayne, just like you ministers, we challenge these believers because this is who they are. This is what they are. This is the purpose and anointing. And so, you know, when we saw the Lord begin to move, and when Brother Aaron coming up, delivering himself, and then Brother Bob and Brother Luis, and then I begin to watch, because I don't just have anyone come up to this pulpit. I begin to watch that, and I thought, Lord, are you doing something? Not just having another minister in. We love those things. We love those things. God has a powerful ministry. And so I begin to see the hand of the Lord move. And so when Brother Bob and Brother Joseph was here the last time, I stood behind this pulpit. We had a wonderful time of fellowship. The word went forth mightily. And I said, you know, you all will, you'll have to go and bring your young people and bring the people up from Louisville. And so, you know, I wasn't catching the vision. I wasn't catching yet what God was doing. And the brothers came through, Brother Luis, different ones came through. And then, so many weeks later, I was speaking with Brother Wade. He said, hey, you know, let's be praying about this. Then I realized that the vision that Brother Wade had, he actually had outreached me because I was looking for this too. But his vision outreached me when he said, we'll bring the group up. And I thought, right then, oh God, this is your doing. My vision, I thought, well, they'll just hear. Brother Wade's vision, it outreached mine. God bringing these things together. And so how thankful we are. It's not about a man. As Brother Bannon said in the weeks to the seals, this hasn't been a man. It's God. This hasn't been a man. You can say what you want to, but be careful what you say. There's a hasn't been a man, it's been God. And so all of your lives, your families, your children, your participation has been precious. And these things have been in the fellowship of brotherly kindness and the agape love of God. And so we appreciate them. I'm not good at these things, but we're going to ask Brother Wayne to come back and or Brother Lucian come here. And what we're going to do, he's going to say a few words and then he'll dismiss. And we'll get together. We'll head up to the Farmer's Daughter's restaurant. It's about 30, 40 minutes from here. They're expecting you all to come. We're going to have fellowship, lots of good food. Nothing like the spiritual food that we had today, though. And we thank the Lord for that. So we love you all so much and so dear. I have to do this every time, brother, because I love Brother Joseph Canada. He's a bosom friend of mine. I love him, and we've been through so much. And then my wife was talking about him last night. And Brother Joseph, God bless you.
Bless you.
Let's all stand.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Lord, we don't want to just, you know, elongate the time even further. We just thank God for His Word and appreciate each and every one of you. Amen. Coming to see Him. Amen. The Word. Amen. So hopefully that Word takes effect in your life. Amen. And you continue moving on with that Word. Praise God. Amen. So we just appreciate Brother Andre. Once again, he's just been a blessing to me personally. And I know to many of you all. Amen. Just his, like Brother Wade said, he's just a humble, meek person. And one of the things that I always brag about Brother Andre is that whenever you're talking with him, he always makes you feel important. He don't care what he has to say. He wants to know what you have to say. And that's what I've always appreciated about Brother Andre. So I'll keep saying that, Brother Andre, because I like that quote.
God bless you, brother.
It makes you feel good. Amen. So let's just bow our heads. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity that we had to have heard your word, Lord Jesus. We can truly say, Lord God, that it's been good, Father, to be in the house of God, Lord, to worship with these believers, Father, of like precious faith, Lord. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would just continue to bless Brother Andre, Lord, as he labors, Father, here in the church and the people, Lord, that work alongside him, Lord. May you keep him strong. May you keep him healthy, Lord. May you keep him, Father, always in the faith, Lord Jesus. Trials and tribulations will come, Lord God. Challenges and temptations will come. But Lord Jesus, help him to always stay anchored on that same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on that Hebrews 13:8. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you just bless him mightily, Lord. Bless Brother Wade for his efforts, Lord, as he's delivered your word, Lord God, and just strengthen his body. Bless Brother Joel, Lord God, his ministry, Lord Jesus. As Father, he goes back, Lord, and you just bless him and his family, Lord, and bless the church there, Lord, in Johnson City, Brother Donnie and all of them there, Lord Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you strengthen also Brother Dale, Lord God, and just continue to bless our brother and just lift him up, Father God, Lord. And we just thank you, Father, for the ministry that you've given us through him, Lord, throughout the years, Lord God. I can truly say, Lord, I've grown in the Word, Father, by listening to that ministry, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, we just thank God, Lord, for we thank you, Lord, for men of God that have raised up, Lord, in this hour, Lord Jesus, and have preached, Father, and stood firm on your Word, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you, Lord, even in this late day that we live in. We love you. We commit ourselves into your hands now. Bless everyone on the roads. Keep us safe, Lord. And bless our fellowship here in a little bit, Lord God. We thank you and we commit ourselves into you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's just sing. Let's just sing Because He Lives as you break being dismissed. Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow.
Because He lives.
Yeah.